You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, April 28th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, watching us on YouTube or Facebook, listening later by podcast. We appreciate you getting your week started right here. I got a question for you. Has nature's alarm clock already got you up and going? It does for Roger out in Stevens Point. We just put on Facebook, good morning, Pat and Greg. I had nature's alarm clock at 5:25, a booming thunderstorm that just moved past Stevens Point and is moving to the east. I assume down where Greg Bach is in Radio Park, the apocalypse hasn't arrived yet. No. To which Alicia puts on YouTube, okay, which apocalypse are we preparing for now?
Bachpocalypse.
No, it's not Buck. It's Brittany Merlot here at the early hour of 6:07 on a Monday morning. If Brittany's here this early, buckle up, kids, because we got some severe weather moving through. I mean, this thing, it moved through the Chippewa Valley at 2 a.m. And, I mean, it announced itself. I mean, some booming thunder. And I'm looking at the radar map right now with all the lightning strikes basically running up the 51 corridor by and large. Oh, my goodness. Brittany, it's noisy out there.
It is noisy. I'm surprised you can't hear it right now. She is roaring outside. It's just got some heavy downpours and some scary sounds at the moment.
Yeah, but preview of coming attractions.
Yes, a good warning to heads up everyone, this afternoon and evening, things are going to get worse than this. This is just the first practice round going through. Nothing major from it. Nothing's been severe warned either. The only thing I'm really thinking that could come from these first few rounds of thunderstorms this morning would probably be some quarter-size hail, because it is pretty cold up high in the atmosphere. So some hail is pretty likely here this morning. Otherwise, we're going to see some spots of sunshine today. We're actually going to get pretty warm and muggy. Muggy. Yeah. Humidity is going to be leaking into the state today. Dew points are going to hit the mid-60s. We're looking at temperatures hitting the low 80s into southern parts of the state. I think up north, you're going to hit some of those 60s. Actually, you already are right now. Ashland, it is 60 degrees right now this morning. So, yes, you can just tell that the atmosphere, Mother Nature, she is brewing something. Big.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's got that real soupy, something is a cooking. And it's a good reminder for folks to have, a severe weather kit ready. We don't talk about that much, but boy, you see enough clips and stuff and you go, do I know where my flashlight is? The weather radio, the candles, the first aid kit. Do I have some bottled water, in case things get really bad, plastic sheeting?
Absolutely.
Look at that. You're holding on to your weather radio. What's that? What else you got there?
I've got it all here right now.
I've got
my weather radio ready to go, rock and roll. I've got flashlights galore, ones with batteries, ones not. I've got a power bank here, too, that's got a bunch of chargers.
Power bank, yeah.
It's even got a flashlight, too, on it, so we've kind of got wrap everything in one. But get your stuff ready.
So give us your street address. We all know where to go now for the storm.
Here. I'm on the upper level. I've still got to figure out where I've got to take shelter, which I feel a lot of people have to still do.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really, really think about where we're going to go? Because these tornadoes are going to be pretty strong if we do get them. We're looking at EF2 or stronger, which is 111 to 135 mile per hour winds, which, pretty much rips roofs off of homes.
Yeah.
It could shift the foundation.
The thing you think is could never happen to you, and yet you want to be prepared anyway, because I have had friends who have, they think it's just another storm coming through, and next thing you know, part of their house is gone. So you want to be prepared for this kind of thing. So, not to get y'all worked up, but when they've been talking about this for at least 48 hours that this part of the Midwest right here, they've been saying, watch out. So we're telling you to watch out.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on things.
Especially this afternoon. I mean, if anything pops this afternoon, really between 2 to 5, I would say, is that prime zone. If you're getting a storm then, you can get ping pong size hail, 80-mile-per-hour winds. Those could pack the biggest and the strongest tornadoes that could stay down on the ground for a little while. So really, really just be careful. Then we've got the cold front that's going to be moving through tonight, which is going to spark either one or two rounds of good storms coming through. And those winds are going to be at about 70 miles per hour, possibly. I mean, heavy downpours, about an inch of rainfall, and some tornadoes could be hidden inside that line as well, which is rolling through late at night, which is a tornado in the dark, which you can't see. So those are even scarier. But don't panic. Just have the plan ready to go.
That's just it. I mean, look, we are less than 2 years removed from having a car completely totaled by a hailstorm. So again, we know personally that these things can come up out of nowhere. You know, you can expect it, but you don't expect hail that size, you know, to just completely pummel your car. So better to be prepared. Brittany, we'll talk to you throughout the morning. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Here's what's coming up on the program today. We will have an update on Friday's politically motivated arrest of a Milwaukee County judge. And as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story that President Trump's FBI doesn't want you to think about. There's also a mistaken impression that our national forests are supposed to be in some kind of primeval condition, that's what all the tree huggers want. That's not what anybody wants. Healthy forest practices have been a standard in Wisconsin for a long time. But with a president abusing an emergency declaration to sidestep environmental safeguards, it's easy to see why a former head of the U.S. Forest Service from Wisconsin thinks this is a bad plan. And he will be joining us in just over an hour. State Senator Kelder Royce joins us in our 8 a.m. hour to tell us about a bill that is not likely to pass the legislature, but it's still important to introduce it so people know who's fighting to keep the government out of doctors' exam rooms and protect women making their most personal health care decisions. Also in the 8 o'clock hour, a recession appears increasingly likely with a president operating an economic policy that resembles a bull in a china shop more than a coherent strategy. We will talk to Sean O'Malley about ways to protect your retirement nest egg from the worst of a potential Trump slump. And we will talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller, both having been at the NFL draft over the weekend. Selena also talked to the head of the Packers Hall of Fame during draft weekend. Along the way, feel free to join us here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also call or text through the Civic Media app, or you can put comments on Facebook or YouTube, as folks are doing already. The aforementioned Greg Bach from the Bachpocalypse is at Radio Park. How was your weekend?
Not memorable, I guess. no, we had shows and relaxing. That was about basically it. You know, didn't do much, which was fine by me. It's always fine by me when a weekend is quiet. When you know. Don't like to run around a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did see a new comedy special over the weekend.
Really?
On Max. Brett Goldstein.
Oh, I saw that live. I saw that tour live.
You did?
Yeah, he came to town, let's see here, I think it was 2024. Yeah, Bridget got me tickets to see him live as a Christmas present, and it was fantastic. I guess I still got to watch it, but... it was very fun, and I don't know if it was because he sold out both his shows, but he put a matinee show on, so it was like a 4 o'clock show. That is the way of the future. I love comedy in the afternoon, and then you get home, and you're like, it's 6 o'clock.
Nice. Yeah. Yes, right?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, you know. Again, what would I give it? I'd give it a solid B+. You know, I really like him. You know, it wasn't, you know, fall off the couch funny, but it was. We need more comedy specials for the folks at the streaming services. We need more good ones.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, let's start there.
The other comedy special this weekend was the NFL draft, specifically the media hype over Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I mean,
yeesh. I mean, wow. Watching this guy on the board, he was always like, the best player available, Shedeur Sanders. Still the best player available as it went from the first round into the second round, into the third round, into the fourth round. And they're still listing him as best player available. And I'm thinking, is he? Is he really the best player available? If he's been passed up by over 140 draft picks by the time he got chosen. And it just it is a lesson in media hype. And Deion Sanders, God bless him, gifted athlete, good coach, really great at media hype, and yeah, telling you this kid is it. But as you went through the draft weekend and people were speaking on and off the record about Shedeur Sanders, going, yeah, he's an okay quarterback, but, you know, he wasn't there all that in a bag of chips, as they say. So
he wasn't great in college.
He was good in college, which does not necessarily translate, but apparently it was the interviews that really did him in, kind of the overconfidence thing.
Yeah,
that comes in like, yep, I'm the guy that's going to come in and turn your team around and everything else. And it's like, well, that's a lot of sizzle, but there didn't appear to be a ton of steak going in on it.
Well, I mean, the thing I'm going to always take into consideration is that he is the son of Deion Sanders, and I'm guessing that young man was raised to be mega confident on the microphone. Yeah. So, like, yeah, that was – I kind of would just see – I would see notifications coming through about him. Like, I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know Deion Sanders had a son. And I was like, all right, okay. And then I just think to myself, well, you know, there's been a lot of guys in the NFL who got picked. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got picked real low, low. And look what he did. So I'm just going to step back and be like, you show your shine, son. If it's great, not whatever, you know.
And that's the thing. That builds the next big media narrative is, I mean, he was eventually picked up by Cleveland.
Yeah.
And so now it's, you know, does he hunker down? He's got to compete against like three other quarterbacks to get a role. You know, does he get a role? Does he get on the field? And look, again, if he does it all, God bless him. Good for him. Yeah. You know, rags to riches story, kind of, sort of, you know. But it was just, it was a very cautionary tale. And it's not the first time that the people making predictions about college athletes, you know, didn't translate into the draft or didn't translate into the pros. But this one was interesting. It's like, wow, still nobody wants this guy, but it gave us something to watch. And the Packers draft picks. I mean, we talked about the receiver Golden they picked up. They picked up another receiver. They picked up another couple of great players. One who was still there on Saturday on day three, and became a big old hero to the crowd, working the crowd the way that he did.
I was like, does he want to be on a different team now? I mean, geez.
No, he stayed in the green. He was the only one left in the green room.
That's awesome.
And the Packers picked him up, and he was happy, and the crowd loved him. So I'm really hoping that works out well for him as well, too. We are talking about the Packers because there's not nearly as much good to talk about for the Bucks, for example. They are on the verge of another humiliating first-round playoff elimination at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers were rolling even before the Bucks' Dame Lillard went out with an injury. The Bucks lost 129-103. They're down 3-1 in that best-of-seven series. Meanwhile, the Brewers did finally get back, ended a four-game losing streak. They beat St. Louis 7-1 yesterday. Jose Quintana struck out 6 over 5 innings. First Brewers pitcher to win his first 4 starts for the team since CC Sabathia in 2008. The Brewers are off today. They are at Chicago to play the White Sox Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then they are home to play the Cubs starting on Friday. Coming up next, the latest on a Milwaukee judge arrested on Friday. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Wrightlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we do so love to partner together on weekday mornings from 6 now until 9 a.m. And over here at Up North News, owned by Courier Newsroom, you can stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news by signing up for our newsletters. Newsletters, plural. We got three of them out there now. UpNorthNewsWI.com. Click subscribe in the banner on the top of our homepage. Our weekday morning newsletter is put together by Christina Laurie, who tells us it is time to get ready to support your local farmers market and has links to some articles we've done on some of the best farmers markets around Wisconsin. Also, Greg, you like cornhole, right? I mean, you like to set up the...
I like the game cornhole.
Yes, those are mostly made out of plywood or particle board or something like that for playing bags.
Can I tell you a really quick story?
Sure.
In our old location in Waukesha, every day when I would leave, and I'm not making fun of this guy, I actually have a great deal of respect for him. Almost every day when I would leave, there was a gentleman on his driveway practicing.
Oh.
So I'm like, this guy plays in leagues. He's the real deal. He's trying to win the big money. I was like, that's really cool. I love watching sportsmen do their thing.
Yes, live your dream. Could you instead of the regular particle board, what would you think of a cornhole board that was 600 pounds and made out of concrete?
Some would call that a bit much, Pat.
It is, but if it's meant to be part of a permanent fixture, well, then maybe that works out all right. Appleton Parks and Rec has certainly done that. So an example of the ways that cornhole has caught on so big that, yes, they're now setting up concrete cornhole boards. So that they're just a permanent fixture there. And you can read all about that in our newsletter. And then we have our Sunday morning newsletter, all about Wisconsin politics. It also includes an article on tomorrow, marking 100 days of the Trump presidency. And also more about the discussion we had Friday about the Trump White House wants Americans to make more babies. What would it take to get you to increase your brood? Would a $5,000 check do it? That's in our politics newsletter. Sign up for all of them at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes, of course, the latest on the Milwaukee County judge who Trump's FBI arrested on Friday morning, claiming that she intentionally misdirected federal agents away from an undocumented immigrant that they were trying to arrest at the courthouse back on April 18th. This is all part of a power play by Trump against the judicial system. It comes in two parts. On the one hand, he is seeking to not be accountable to judges who rule against some of his actions, even defying the U.S. Supreme Court at times. And at the same time now, he is seeking to intimidate judges and others in the legal system who try to maintain an independent and co-equal branch of government. Now, federal officers have repeatedly and increasingly been coming to local courthouses to take alleged undocumented immigrants into custody. This is a practice that has been criticized repeatedly by judges and others who note the danger to public safety for a couple of different reasons, not just the commotion and the disturbance that an arrest could cause in a public area, but perhaps more importantly, people aren't going to show up for their court appearances, or they're not going to report crimes. And I guess one way to think of it is, let's assume there's a car crash and your son is killed. And the only witness to it who could help find justice against the drunk driver is an undocumented immigrant. And that person is too frightened to show up at the courthouse. And so the person who killed your son gets away with it. Is that the kind of system that we're looking for here? So needless to say, the judge in this case, Hannah Dugan, back when this happened on April 18th, was angered that federal agents were again clogging the courthouse hallway outside of her chambers. She had a full calendar that day, more than two dozen cases, including one for Eduardo Flores Ruiz, an undocumented immigrant, being charged as part of a fight with his roommate over music volume. Flores Ruiz was instructed by Dugan to use a different door. The door still exited into the public hallway, and Flores Ruiz walked by the agents. They saw him. They saw him come out the door. It's not like there was a secret door that led to the outside. But instead of going out the courthouse door so she could get back to the court calendar, it was, you go out that way, you're still going out into the hallway. agents watched him get into an elevator. One was in the elevator with him. And it wasn't until outside the building that agents went to approach him. He tried to run away. He was, of course, quickly chased down and taken into custody. Now, reaction was swift from Democrats, who said arresting a judge has all the hallmarks of overreach, as Gwen Moore put it. It's a serious and drastic move, as Tammy Baldwin called it. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley said Trump's FBI is more concerned about weaponizing federal law enforcement and punishing people without due process. Republican legislators, meanwhile, are now talking about maybe an attempt to remove Judge Dugan from office. And in doing so, they would want to assist Donald Trump with his intimidation campaign against judges. And in fact, Tyler August, the Assembly Majority Leader, put out something that said these charges against Dugan are serious, deeply troubling, and strike at the core of public trust. We will continue to monitor the process, but Assembly Republicans stand prepared to act decisively. If these allegations are confirmed, accountability is not optional. It is essential to the integrity of public service. Well, I went through that, and I corrected the language for them. What it really should say is this. These charges of aiding and abetting a totalitarian power grab are serious, deeply troubling, and strike at the core of public trust. We, the voters, will continue to monitor the legal process, but Assembly Republicans are on notice to act constitutionally, lest these serious allegations of assisting in a totalitarian power grab are confirmed. Accountability to a nation of laws, not kings, is not optional. That kind of accountability is essential to the integrity of public service. That's what we, the voters, demand of Republicans following this case. We'll have Kristen Lyerly coming up next.
Welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now I'm going to introduce Pat Kreitlow.
Who's on the telephone because his internet completely went out up here in Chippewa Falls. I'm looking at a dead modem here going, nothing I can do. So it's not a Wi-Fi issue. It's the service from the cable company has just done gone bye-bye. But let's see. Where do we, Greg, do we have Dr. Lyerly still by some other connection or no?
She is on the internet right now. She is here live.
Okay. But she probably can't hear me, I'll bet.
I can hear you.
Oh, you can? Well, good morning. Hello.
Good morning. My internet works.
Your internet is working just fine, which is it's a very strange and sad situation here. But, this happened a couple of weeks ago, and it came back within 5 minutes. So we'll see if we can't get the same thing to happen here. So I might just leave a lot of this to you and Greg to talk about, especially you, because you were at the draft along with your son, Abe. And I'm betting you guys had a pretty good time.
It was so great. It makes me a little sad to see some of the comparisons against like Detroit or Nashville when they talk about, you know, Green Bay not having as many people as Detroit. But Green Bay's population is, the metro is like $340,000 or 340,000 people. And Detroit is like more than 7 million people. So yeah, we had a few less people at the draft. But compared to the size of the area, it was incredible. And there was only one arrest the entire time. People were having a ball. They were so nice. Folks pushing strollers, wheelchairs, everybody being good and kind to each other and excited about it. So, yeah, it made me really proud to be from Northeast Wisconsin and so excited to see all those Packer fans out there.
That statistic about the one arrest just blew me away. But, mm-hmm. I mean, these are people that, I mean, nothing against spectators at a football game, but if you're coming to the draft, it's a very special trip. It's not a cheap trip. And, you know, there isn't the carousing that one would find at a usual sporting event. But still, like you said, given the size of the metro, way to go, Green Bay. Way to go, Wisconsin, for, you know, being that kind of a draw to folks.
And the traffic wasn't bad. I was shocked by actually how well managed the traffic was. I biked down on Saturday. It's about 10 miles from my house, and just rode around and took in the area down by Stadium View down on the east side of Lambeau, and the festivities and the music. I mean, I just honestly can't say enough. These are our folks. And it was so different than a game. So games, you know, were focused on the game and the gamesmanship. This was really more about just having a great time and celebrating what was happening. And although the weather wasn't great on Friday, we sucked it up. And still there was an incredible amount of attendance. So, yeah, really excited. It was all
so
good.
What kinds of things were available for you know, regular folk like you to do while you were there?
Well, they had a lot of stuff over on, I don't know if you've been to the Titletown area, but there's a big full-size football field there. So they had stuff for kids there. They were punt passing, kicking. They had former players that were coordinating with the kids and the parents so that they could get out and be active and engage with each other. And then when you got a little closer to the stadium, there was the, yeah, of course, Hinterland and all those businesses were open for food and drink, the regular stuff that we're used to. And then when you got even closer into the Lambeau parking lot, they had things like the dive bar area where you could go in and, oh, it was so cool. They had pull tabs. You could win a little prize. You could stick a pin in the map where you came from, and people came from all over the world. You could see the Super Bowl rings. You could get autographs. You could get into Lambeau and sit inside if you were lucky enough to stand in line for, you know, long enough to be able to get there. Of course, the stage was huge, and a lot of people just congregated in front of the stage. And then there was the music. We watched Brad Paisley on Saturday night.
So,
that was a lot of fun.
Where did he play?
So they set up a huge stage in between. If you're familiar with the area,
yeah.
Lambeau is on one side, then there's Oneida Street, and on the other side is the Rush Center. And they set up a stage on Oneida so that the whole Lambeau parking lot on the east side was where the fans were standing. And the stage was where all the events were happening. They had a big green room and everything behind there. It was really well put together, well done. I talked to the sheriff in Brown County yesterday, and he was talking about how the facilities, he had been in Detroit last year, and so many of the facilities were temporary, like tents. And here in Green Bay, they just did it up. They had actual buildings. They had enough time to put it all together. They had shut down Oneida weeks before so that they could get the stage put together. So again, really well done. People could see the stage. The screens were huge. No matter where you turned, there was something going on, and people were just joyful.
That sounds like such a good time. When I found out that he was playing a free concert, I was like, of course he is. He's like one of my favorite artists, period. And uh-huh. I was just very, very excited. And I was like, I really want to just skip everything on Saturday and go to this, but I couldn't. I'm glad you were able to enjoy and have a really good time.
Does he always end his shows with Country Road, Take Me Home?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in probably like 15, no, probably close to 20 years.
Yeah. It's neat because it talks about West Virginia, which is where he's from. Mm-hmm. And it felt very, his whole concert felt very homey. Even the interaction that he had with the crowd in between, talking about Green Bay and how hardy we, everybody loves to talk about how hardy we are up here, which is
we're a sturdy folk.
Yeah, everybody likes that except for Cam Webb. He didn't like that so much.
Not
his favorite place to be.
Yeah.
Well, that then is why we did not pick him up. What was the chatter like about, you know, the players the Packers picked and or, you know, Shedeur Sanders continuing to fall down and down the draft board?
Most of the information that I have there comes from my 16-year-old son, who is very interested in all of this. Very pleased with all the Packer picks. Did you see the guy at the end? The guy who stayed. You talked about him earlier, but the one guy who was left in the green room, he also from Texas. We got a lot of Texas guys. He gave the most beautiful press conference where he broke down talking about the sacrifices that his parents made for him to be there. And it was so moving and so different from what we saw with Cam Webb. And even with Shedeur Sanders, you know, yeah, it was down the line, but he was great. He held it together. Not what you would have expected from Deion Sanders' son, maybe having been around during the Deion Sanders era and having watched Neon Deion and his, you know, antics. But I thought, you know, he hung in there. He didn't get what he thought he was going to get. But this is his opportunity to show people that, you know, like you said earlier, maybe he should have been drafted higher, but he got drafted. So prove yourself now.
That's right. Well, let's see if the cell phone as a hotspot works better than the cable company Wi-Fi. How's this doing, Greg?
He magically comes back like that. That was amazing.
That was just after Easter like that too. How he did that. That was amazing.
After 3 minutes, he rises again.
A digital resurrection. And holy cow! Look at this. I'm looking at my cable modem right now. Okay, at some point I went, you know, while we were talking, I'm like, oh, this is going to go on for a while. Okay, I'm going to try my phone as a hotspot and we'll use the cellular network instead. And I just got connected with you. And what do I just see on my cable modem?
Ping.
It's back on. Yep, back on. Of course it is.
Good work. It
just needed me to do that. All right. We did talk about this Friday, but I've got it in the weekend newsletter and folks are still kind of either chattering or chuckling about it. And that is the chatter out of the Trump White House about, well, let's try to get people to make more babies. What would incentivize that? And they're floating around a $5,000 check. And we played with that in the weekend newsletter on Sunday mornings. We said, what would it take to get you to expand your family? And we had a little fun with it. It was like, nothing. If Donald Trump says it, it's my patriotic duty. We'll make more babies. B was the $5,000 check that they're talking about offering. C was what you and I discussed on Friday. How about health care? How about child care?
You
know,
you
how about
silly
paid
Billy.
Family leave? I know. And then D was something along the lines of, get away from me, you creep. These are very personal decisions, and there's nothing a government should be doing to try to make me have more babies. Is I think it? We're all still pretty well good on answer C, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I'm always about it. I'm actually about answer whatever healthcare access, daycare. I'm about B and C. But I always think it's funny how they're like, oh, we couldn't possibly do this. It costs too much money, not for healthcare and for childcare. That's just, we can't help it. You should do X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, hey, do you want to have $5,000 to have a baby? We'll give all you five. For some reason, they can free up some money there.
Oh, there's lots to talk about that, about how there's going to be all these tax cuts, but they suddenly found like another $4 billion that they're going to give to SpaceX, you know, for something. So it's just the point we've been trying to make is like, this is not about saving money. This is, you know, about people in power taking money from the rest of us and using it for their own selfish gains. And it sure is taking some folks a while to see that, Kristen.
Maybe just this is the gynecologist in me who talks to my patients about lots of different things, including sex. But I think we could have more fun with this than we are. Incentivizing people to have babies.
Okay.
Or at least to attempt to have babies. We could make a better sex effort. Couldn't we?
Yes.
Having more fun, more education, more information,
more
access. This ties into healthcare.
Yes. I'm all about, I mean, I had a better sex ed class in 1986 at a Catholic school from a nun than kids have nowadays in public school.
It's true.
Yeah, I know.
And instead, my fear is, and I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but I just fear, knowing the OBGYNs that I do, that their offices risk being cluttered with people who maybe parenthood is not the right move for them right now, but they're like, oh, I heard there was free money. Oh, we'll get a $5,000 check if we get pregnant. Let's do it. Like, oh, honey, it's going to cost you so much more than $5,000 to have a kid that you otherwise weren't planning to have.
That'll cover Dr. Lyerly, in today's day and age, that'll cover what, the first month, 2 months?
Of what? Like your health care, your daycare, your food, your diapers, your formula? Like, wait, what does it cost to raise a kid these days? It's got to be close to $1 million.
Oh,
it feels like that to me.
Oh, my God. Easily. And that's the reason we're having fun with this, because and it's also the irony that they're talking about this to address a labor shortage in this country. And yet you're chasing away all the migrant labor. Mm-hmm. I will say again, there should never be a bigger time in this country's history to be pro-immigration than right now. And we've had chance after chance after chance after chance to reform immigration so that there is a process where people go through it legally and everything. And we're doing it as backwards as humanly possible and then saying, well, let's get people to make babies. That's really not the news that doctors like you needed to hear.
No, and it's amazing to think about how, if you look back to like George W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, like the mecca of traditional conservatives, and the way that they talk about immigration, it's entirely different than how Donald Trump talks about immigration now. It's very reasonable. There's a lot of common sense involved. So the mental gymnastics that we have done over the decades to get to where we are right now, and how we are failing to actually solve this problem, because it just doesn't make any sense. It's just ridiculous.
Well, as is often talked about with policies like Trump's and others, that sounds about white. You know, what you're talking about and what makes it different than before. Let's pause here and bring in Selena Heller as well. We will have today's history lesson coming up along the way. Hey, by the way, tomorrow, Dan Schaefer starts his stint as a regular for us. The Civic Media political editor has this week's big stories to watch for, and Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich on what Democrats need change to win in 2026. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Of all the songs done by Chicago, this one for me is one of my favorite beginnings.
Right there.
About three people who are fans of Chicago are like, I see what you did there. See what you did there. Anyway, the self-titled debut album by Chicago Transit Authority was released this day in 1969. On their second album, they would shorten their name to Chicago. And that, of course, is the track Beginnings off of that debut album. Welcome to today's history lesson and some musical memories for this April 28th. Jay Leno is 75 years old today. Now, Greg, you are a Jay Leno fan, or at least more so than I am, right? I think we had that discussion, or no?
I respect Jay Leno very much as a stand-up comedian and his love for the craft. I would not call myself a fan, but definitely, like, I would work with him if it was a stand-up show. I would go see him if someone gave me a free ticket, but I'm not like... I have hard opinions on the late night wars.
I think maybe at some point I was very disparaging of Jay Leno's Tonight Show hosting. I did not like it. And I think part of it is that he was one of my favorite stand-up comics before he got the Tonight Show gig. Yeah. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
As a talk show host, not so much. No. I like how Kristen's just staying out of this. She doesn't want to get into the whole Leno versus Letterman thing. So you were busy training to be a doctor at the time?
No. Yeah. That was before that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like it. You know, like, people have preferences. They do now, too.
Yeah,
I'm a Colbert person. Don't really love Jimmy Fallon anymore, but I used to.
I love Jimmy Fallon on The Late Show. When he was hosting after The Tonight Show, his stint on The Late Show was so, so good.
Yes, very much so. Cassandra on YouTube, once Jay Leno screwed over Conan, I was done with him.
Yeah, it got ugly.
Yep.
That was a pretty big moment. So Jay Leno is 75 years old today. And today, Justice Elena Kagan from the U.S. Supreme Court is 65 years old today. On this day in 1973, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, recorded at Abbey Road Studios, topped the album chart for the first time. Here's a little cut from Us and Them on that album.
Come on now.
So this was on this week in 1973, the first week that it was on the album chart at number one. It would be on the album chart for 741 consecutive weeks and 880 non-consecutive weeks total. So a few of you have bought this album.
I've got like three copies.
Let's see. Boxer Muhammad Ali refused his induction into the U.S. Army and was stripped of his championship and license this day in 1967. The number one hit this day in 1979 was by Blondie.
I like this intro.
Very, very, very like things to come of the 80s.
Uh-huh.
So there we go. Number one this week in 1979. Tony Bennett released an album this day in 1987. It was called The Art of Excellence. It was noteworthy because, again, this was 1987. It became the very first album sold as a CD rather than a vinyl, rather than a vinyl record first. Yeah. On this day in 1998, Dave Matthews Band and their third studio album, Before These Crowded Streets, debuted on the album chart at number one.
This one's a dark Dave Matthews song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I hear he's amazing in concert.
He is. The musician, he's the... He is the worst musician on stage, and he's still an amazing musician. Like, that's how good he's... the amount... The players he surrounds him with, he surrounds himself with, it's like going to a Fish show or a Grateful Dead show.
Oh, nice. The iTunes Store was launched this week in 2003. It was the first widely successful and legal music downloading service. And I remember seeing it and going... This changes everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I can get that for 99 cents. I can get that for 99 cents. I can get that for 99 cents. And by the way, to this day, as I'm sure you've heard a couple of times already, it leads to my rant about how the news business should not be in such dire straits, but they couldn't borrow that same model. You can get a song for 99 cents, but they were like, oh no, you got to pay $50 for a newspaper subscription. Like, no, sell the individual stories or, you know, day passes or whatever. So
no, Pat. This is not. You don't understand, Pat. You only worked in television and radio and
right.
You don't know.
I don't know. Today is a National Clean Comedy Day.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah. Where's my censors and bleeps when I need them?
Yeah. I'm all about clean comedy. Don't get me wrong. But there's that two terms is such a nuanced conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Let's see. Also, this is Occupational Safety and Health Day, marking the creation of OSHA on this day in 1971. And this is National Blueberry Pie Day.
Oh, I love blueberry pie.
Now, that's how I was going to welcome in Selena Heller with her thoughts on blueberry. Good morning, Selena.
Good morning. I like all sweets.
Okay. Really?
Well, then that works out well.
Okay.
Yep. And so, Selena, I'm guessing in a draft shirt from being at the draft. Yes, you are. There it is. Is Whiskers in a little draft shirt too, or did Whiskers?
Whiskers is here, but he got no memorabilia.
in the fourth round, we have drafted Whiskers.
I suppose running back. We got a mini helmet, and he could probably wear that. Some nice man came up to Emery and gave her a mini draft helmet, and it was the nicest, cutest thing ever. So that's whisker size. Perfect.
So we are going to talk more to Selena Heller about the draft. She was there along with Kristen. We will also be talking to a former head of the U.S. Forest Service on Trump opening up national forests to more commercial logging, Senator Kelda Royce, Jane Mattenair, and a Brittany Merlot weather update all on the way here as part of your Monday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.